Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this windy day in Denver, Colorado, welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, start the year with joy and laughter. Have a thankful heart at the very beginning of this year, and with gratitude for God's blessings, and with courage for the journey. It's so important that you have courage, that you have endurance, because it takes endurance. If I knew that I was going to be on the air for 25 years, I would have said, no way. But with God's help and with Holy Spirit's teaching and guidance, it's been a blessing, an absolute adventure and a blessing. And every day it is, even on these windy days, and we're going to have snow later on in the weekend. It's just a pleasure to come to this studio. Crawford Broadcasting has been such a great host, and my producer Matt is just great. He's just a great guy, and has gotten me on the air almost every day. If he didn't get me on the air, it's because of stuff going on with the computers. Yep, so it's been a wonderful, wonderful adventure and journey for me. I hope it has been for you. We only have so many years in our life, and I choose to serve Jesus. I choose to serve my life. After all that, you know, we've been through, I pray that you are going to come to the point where you're going to get serious with God and say, yes, God, I choose to serve you and none other but you. I'm going to be talking about the adversary today, and I know it's a downer for some of you, but we got to know Satan's tactics, and we've got to know his schemes so that we can look out for them. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And this Saturday, January the 8th, is the next Call to Freedom meeting. And breakfast, of course, will be at 8:30. And we're going to get around the table and just have a great time. And praise and Bible study at 10 o'clock. If you would like to bring something after the Bible study for lunch, you can bring a side dish of, you know, I said that last month for Christmas, a side dish, your favorite. And, we had an abundance. We really did. It was like Thanksgiving at Christmas. It was an abundance of food. So bring your favorite salad or dessert, or even if you'd like to bring bread for the lasagna, you just go ahead and bring anything. We're going to have a great time. Great time of fellowship. Lots of laughter. And I love it when we can get together in one accord. It's wonderful to get it together in one accord. If you would like to join us, call 1-866-917-7256 for reservations and join us next Saturday, January the 8th. I look forward to seeing you. And thank you, Matt, for announcing that after the show, because sometimes I forget to announce the meeting, and there is Matt. He's announcing the show. So thank you. Thank you so much. The memory verse for this week is Matthew 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can't live on your bread, on your sustenance, on your daily bread, because who are you? You, first of all, are spirit, and you must worship your Father God in spirit. So you are first spirit, then soul, mind, and then body. So we have got to live by our spirits. Boy, that is not preached about. I don't know. In fact, I didn't hear it till I got together with Darren. But we live according to our spirit man. And look all the attention we give to our physical food. We should be giving that amount of attention to our spiritual food. And that's why I love Matthew 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means as you speak the word, what you are going to be speaking is going to be manifested by God himself and is going to bring about a blessing in your life, an absolute blessing in your life. And in the Passion, it says, Jesus said, bread alone will not satisfy. And as a believer, my physical bread is not enough for me. No, not anymore. That alone will not satisfy. And I find myself fasting more later on in life than I did before. I know when you're young, you just want to gobble everything in sight. But it's a wonderful thing to know that God is teaching your spirit to live according to the word of God and not according to physical food. Praise the Lord. Here's the Passion again. Bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's mouth. It's like Isaiah 55 verse 11, that his word will not return void. Oh, praise God. His word that goes out from your mouth will not return void. Such great verses. And Jesus said in John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. You shall live forever because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. My flesh. My confession for today by Rick Renner, I declare by faith that I am refilled and recharged with the Spirit of God. There is no lack of strength in me because Jesus continuously provides a huge supply of the Spirit in my life that empowers me to achieve everything I need to do this year. Oh, yes, so much to do this year and so much at the beginning of the year. I've had to print out not only the little scripture cards that go with the newsletter, 4 or 5 months of those, but also of the insert card that you put in the newsletter. I've had to do 500 of those, and now I've got the newsletter to print out for February. I've always got something to do all the time, and so he empowers me to achieve everything I need to do this year. And then there are income taxes, of course. There is no excuse for me to fail or to stop short of the goals God has given me for my life. Because the Spirit of God lives big in me, says Rick Renner, and gives me enough supernatural strength and power to energize me to finish my divine assignment. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I love the verse of scripture in Philippians 4:13 that says, I find that, I hope I can say this, Nancy. I've been talking to my friend Nancy and we've been memorizing in the Passion. I find that the power of Jesus Christ infuses me. Oh, I know. I find that the supernatural, explosive power of Jesus Christ infuses me to conquer, here I go, to conquer every difficulty. And that is a beautiful verse in the Passion. I hope you can learn that. I'm just learning it now because I've learned most things in the King James Version, as so many of you have. King James Version is very poetic. And sometimes in the New King James Version and the New American Standard, for 25 years, I've read the New American Standard, so I've learned a lot of verses there, but not the Passion. So this is a new thing for me. So, oh, kudos. Kudos to those of you who are learning the Passion. I know that, as I said before, this may seem like a downer to you for me to talk about the next subject, but I don't want any of you unaware of what the devil has planned for you. I don't want you to be in shock. I don't want you to be anxious or upset because God is there. God is right there with you. And since I'm reading Genesis right now, there's lots of evidence of the enemy of our souls lurking about with the people of the Old Testament. Oh, they went through so many temptations and gave in to so many temptations. For instance, Adam and Eve. The Bible teaches that God did not create Satan as he is today. Lucifer, now called the devil or Satan, our adversary, was once a high-ranking angelic being. According to Ezekiel 28, he held a position of great power and influence. What went wrong? This text, although directed to the king of Tyre, includes a vivid description of the believer's arch enemy. Now, Lucifer had been created perfect. I can't imagine perfect, because none of us are born perfect. But Lucifer had been created perfect. Ezekiel 28, verse 12 says he was the model of perfection, full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. Another interpretation is you, Lucifer, had the seal of perfection. You were full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Clearly, Lucifer was magnificent. He had been given a position of great responsibility and honor. He was the anointed, mighty, angelic guardian. He also had access to God and special abilities. We read in Job 1, and we're going to be reading that soon in our Word Power for Every Hour, that he, with other heavenly beings, presented themselves before God. Now, God acknowledged him then, but later on, we know that he was cast down to the earth, because Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 18, Luke 10, verse 19, I saw Satan fall. I saw Satan fall to the earth. So we know that he was cast down. Now, Lucifer was not satisfied to worship God. He wanted to be worshipped. Scriptures say that he desired to climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. And that's Isaiah 14, verse 14. Those are two great chapters if you want to research the fall of Lucifer and also some of the descriptions of his character. Instead of being grateful for the many blessings God had given him, he sought to use those blessings to his own advantage. As a result, he was thrown out of heaven and will one day reside in the lowest depths of the pit of hell. Yes, he will. If you read Revelation 20 and 21, wow, I don't want to go there. And that's why I'm on the air every day for you. I want you to know Jesus as your Savior. I want you to get to know him. And because Satan knows his time is limited, and as we read in Revelation, his time is short, Satan is stepping up his efforts in these last days with temptations for you so that you will not serve the Lord. That's his goal. Not only to steal, kill, and destroy, well, to steal the word out of your mouth or out of your heart. He is there to steal it. When that seed is cast into your heart, he's right there to take it from you. So we must capture that seed and learn from that seed that we learned in church, at Bible study, wherever you are. You need to take that seed of the word that was given to you and plant it in your heart and keep it there. Keep it there at all costs. In fact, the Bible tells us that he is trying to lead people away from God, causing them to follow teachers with teachings, quote, teachings that come from demons. And you can read that in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. People, I don't know why they gravitate to people with these great messages and these astounding miracles and all this fantastic stuff that's going on. People just gravitate. They just run to those kind of people. And you've got to stay in the Word of God every day to know the difference between those false prophets and between those true Bible teachers, because they're out there, the wonderful Bible teachers. He wants as many people as he can to go down with him. So I'm going to give you a few points on how he attacks the believer and what to watch for and overcome. Every time you feel like you have cast down something that the devil has tried to feed to you, oh, give yourself a pat on the back. Praise God, because it's the temptations are coming. They're just flooding into your minds and into your thoughts. So we have got to watch for them, but cast them down. We're going to talk about that in 2 Corinthians 10:5 pretty soon. How does Satan attack people? When you read Genesis, you become aware of Satan's devious temptations that he offers God's people. I know some of you say, well, if I was in that garden, I never would have given in to the serpent. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but we're all born in sin, and we all have this wonderful way of making ourselves look more important than anybody else, or wanting to control somebody else, or we're a sinful people until Jesus Christ comes into our hearts. But I must ask you, when you've been fasting and someone asks you to lunch, do you accept the lunch date, or do you excuse yourself? Or if you make a New Year's resolution to eat vegetables and protein for the next 30 days and get back in shape, and then you receive a box of candy from a friend. Do you deny yourself just a taste of the candy, or do you give it away? Or if you get an offer to work for a company of a questionable reputation, do you take the job, or do you pray about it and accept a business relationship with someone who knows God? I know they're out there. I do know they're out there. And there are Christian businessmen that are looking for people to work for them. So you got to look. You got to look sometimes, but it's worth the look. Number one, Satan questions God's word. Satan did not deny that God had spoken to Eve. He did not deny that. He simply questioned whether Eve understood what God meant. He wanted her to think that perhaps she had misunderstood God's command. Today, Satan will twist the truth to try to alienate you, from God's word. And number two, Lucifer questioned God's love, or the serpent questioned God's love. Satan wanted to make Eve think that God was holding something back. In reality, God had placed those restrictions on Adam and Eve's life to keep them from sinning and destroying themselves. And besides, when you think about it, God had given Adam and Eve everything they could possibly need or want in the Garden of Eden. Everything. The desires of their heart. And likewise, God has placed barriers in your life because he knows where wrong decisions could lead you. And he wants you to know that he loves you. Oh, I'll tell you, I had some relationships before John asked me out when I was in college. And I just thought, he's the one. He's the one. You know, when you're young and dumb. And when God presented John, I'll never forget that afternoon when he asked if I could go to an art exhibit with him. I just come out of my voice lessons. And there he was on the sofa reading a newspaper. I hadn't seen him for quite a while. And see, God puts his answers right in front of you most of the time, so you don't ignore them. Number three, Satan denied God's word. First, Satan questioned God's word, but then he denied God's word. He went from, did God really say this, to, that's a lie, to Eve. It is a short step from questioning God's word to denying it. If Eve had not listened to Satan's questioning, she may never have fallen into the trap. And fourth, Satan substituted his own lie. Satan led Eve to believe that if she ate the fruit, she would become like God. But she was already like God in spirit, soul, and body. Oh, that we would be satisfied with what we have. Selah, that's a time to pause. Oh, that we would be satisfied with what we have. Eve had a choice. She could take God at his word or believe Satan's lie. Guess what? She believed Satan's lie. The Bible calls Satan the father of lies and even acknowledges that in the last days, Satan will resort to deceiving people through a grand counterfeit scheme. And you read, go to 2 Thessalonians 2. It's about the falling away of the church and the people taken up in the rapture, but it also talks about Satan's grand counterfeit scheme. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10. The best defense against Satan's, I might read that tomorrow or Thursday. The best defense against Satan's attack is to fill your mind and your mouth with the truth in God's word. Oh, Psalm 34, verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed are the people who take refuge in him. And Psalm 81, verse 10, I, the Lord, am your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. God wants to fill your mouth with his word. The devil knows that your mind is the core of your thoughts, where you reason things out and fantasize and imagine. He will attempt to make you second guess what God has said in his word and get you to dwell on the what ifs in life. Our counterattack is found. I want you to listen to this. Our counterattack is found in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. Now, that's from the Living. But I want to say it in the first person singular pronoun from Barbara's translation. I cast down, and I want you to get this. You say it to yourself. I cast down every evil and vain imagination and every lofty thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and I take every thought before it becomes a word, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I want to think the way Christ thinks, so every thought I think, I either identify it from the enemy and cast it down, or take that thought and apply it to the way God thinks. How does he think about you? Well, I know one thing. When Jesus gets a hold of you, friend, he's never going to leave you. If you obey his word and hunger and thirst after him, he's going to stay right there with you. Here's Dallas Holm.
Well, I used to be oh so sad. Now I'm just free and glad. Because Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Sometimes I remember how I used to be living in sin. Well, I tried to act happy and free, but I wasn't within. Well, I fooled a lot of friends of mine. They thought I had some peace of mind. But I never had a thing until I opened up and let Jesus in. And then Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got in. And glad because Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Aren't you getting just a bit tired fooling around? Well, you're trying to laugh your way through life, but you're not gaining ground. Oh, why not try the Lord today? Ask him in your heart to stay. You'll find Jesus' love will be the greatest thing that you ever found. And you say, Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, got into my soul.
You gotta open up and let Jesus in. That's what Dallas was singing about. In Romans 16, verse 20, Paul says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." What is doing the crushing? Are you doing the crushing? No, God is doing crushing. And what is God wanting from you? He's wanting you to praise him and give him all the glory. He wants you to dwell on the ways of God, to be cognizant of the devil's tactics, speak the word, but let God go to battle against the enemy. When you walk against the Spirit of God, it creates a drag on your life. I want you to walk with the Spirit, Holy Spirit. It causes a drag. It's like when I walked into the building today, I was pushing against that wind. The wind was causing such horrific power. It was coming against me. So I was coming against the wind. And when you come against the Spirit, that's what happens in your life. Everything you do becomes harder. It takes more energy to do less. So when you go against the Spirit, you're fighting against the wind. And that's what Spirit means in Hebrew. It's ruach, wind or breath. When you're walking in the direction of the wind helps you. It moves you ahead. See, I was coming against the wind when I was coming into the building. It moves you ahead. It makes you walk easier when you're going with the wind. The wind gives you power. So it is with Holy Spirit. If you turn, if you change your course, if you repent or confess your sins, then the drag of going against the wind will disappear. And Holy Spirit will empower you and will move you forward. And then everything you do, and you must do, there are assignments given to each and every one of us. It will become easier, so much easier. So if you walk in the Spirit, as Galatians 5:16 tells us, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, and life will go from being a drag to being a breeze. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Remember the meeting. It's on Saturday. And I invite you to come to breakfast at 8:30. We always have a great time. Call me at 1-866-917-7256. God bless you. I hope to see you there Saturday.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.